Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's go!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Was there any thought at all this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that.
If you're the Lakers, do you just say, we're good?
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Tom Pelissero. Earlier on the show, NFL Network reporter Mike Garofalo, NBA writer for The Athletic, Mike Vorkunov, NFL Network analyst Chase Daniel. Still to come, comedian Tom Papa. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Tom Pelissero.
It is a Rich Eisenless edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Is Rich back tomorrow or somebody else coming in here for the rest of the week?
No, I think Rich is back tomorrow.
Rich is back tomorrow. Keep the seat warm.
All right.
For a couple of days out here, love being with you fellas in El Segundo. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo, TJ Jefferson. As always, my boys here in the studio. Tom Papa's going to be sitting right there in a short time from right now. Can't wait to talk to Tom. We've talked a lot of NFL through the past couple of days. Chase Daniel, by the way, awesome. Coming on the show, like the way that he breaks it down, the way that he sees the game, it's really, really good. And the quarterbacks drive a lot within the draft, but there's bigger things at play. Okay, there's more to it than just the quarterbacks. So what I wanted to do at Brockman's request here was fan this thing out, and I would love to do we have a sounder for this? A top five.
Oh.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Tom's.
Top five.
That's
why Del Tufo is the best in the business with audio. Hold on.
Wow.
Play it one more time. I need to hear it one more time.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Tom's.
Top five.
I mean, we even got your head on the graphic.
Right? Yeah. That's pretty good.
Unbelievable.
No, Mike didn't do that.
Is that vacation?
That's vacation.
Okay.
Yeah. That's usually Rich's
head. That's what I figure. All right. So what I'll do, I'm going to break it down. That 8 divisions in the NFL, so I'm really not leaving a whole lot of people out here. But I want to give you my top five division races to watch.
Ooh.
Based on everything, not just the draft, but just as I sit here right now, the five that I am most excited about. Ooh. I'm going to start out at number five in the NFC South. A division that's been kicked around and beaten down because, let's be honest, it's been a race to 8 wins a lot of years.
really bad.
It's not strictly driven by the drama with the Falcons, but it is in part. Because, obviously, when you sign Kirk Cousins to a $100 million contract, immediately you go, okay, well, they've been the team that's been a quarterback away. Now they got the quarterback. Why shouldn't they be competing? But when Raheem Morris and Terry Fondo go to the press conference after taking another quarterback at number 8, Michael Penix Jr., and they say repeatedly, we're never going to be in this position again. We won't be in this position again. And they repeat it, we won't. We won't. They're saying, we're winning this division right now. We're a playoff team right now. We're going to be nowhere close. And they haven't been in the playoffs in a while. So the Falcons all of a sudden have put that type of pressure on themselves in a variety of different ways. In division where Baker Mayfield returns to the Bucks, they got some new looks there. Some of their veteran players moving on. You've got the Panthers, who, for a variety of reasons, were the worst team, and it wasn't really close in the NFL in 2023. New coaching staff. They went on and got Bryce Young a bunch of weapons in the draft. Xavier Leggett, Jonathan Brooks, who should be healthy before the start of the season, Jatavion Sanders. They give him a new offensive philosophy. Dave Canales, who is a very positive guy, has worked with shorter quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield. I'm not saying the Panthers necessarily are a division-winning team this year, but it's a division that's wide open. And I don't want to, you know, leave out the Saints here, too. They've got a lot of the same parts in place as we move forward. But it'll be interesting to see. They were another team that was right there at the end in the playoff chase a year ago. So I'd say the NFC South, number five on my list. And number four, let's go to the AFC East. The Bills have ruled that division ever since the Patriots ruled that division. The Bills, with a ton of turnover. It's not just the Stephon Diggs trade. I mean, they basically cut their whole secondary. They go out, they draft a wide receiver, Keon Coleman, who is going to have probably outsized expectations on him in terms of what he's able to do, especially after Gabe Davis also leaves that team. They went through some weird stuff last year. Stories about Sean McDermott firing Ken Dorsey within the season. And amidst all that and media furor and everything else, they played better. They played their best football down the stretch. They still clearly felt like some dynamics need to change around this team. I'm not saying they're more vulnerable this year, but they had to rally and get back in the division last year because the Dolphins have caught up. The Dolphins were banged up down the stretch in the season. Another year for Tua Tagovailoa in that offense. We know they got weaponry. They got speed all over the place. New defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver coming in there. The Patriots, it's going to be a growth process. Yep. Do we see Drake May this season? That'll be a storyline throughout the year. They are going to have their challenges, no doubt. And then, oh yeah, that guy Aaron Rodgers, the four-time MVP winner, is back with the Jets, who draft Olu Fashanu in the first round. Another offensive lineman in an offseason where they signed Tyron Smith and they signed John Simpson. They also brought in Mike Williams, another wide receiver here. We didn't get to see the Jets last year. They would probably, if you were listing the teams that I was most excited to see about in 2023, the Jets were number one. I got four snaps. Oh. And he got hit on two of them and tore one Achilles.
The Jets were number one?
Jets of teams I would have been excited to see in 2023? Absolutely.
Interesting.
How could they not? Aaron Rodgers going to that place, all the hype surrounding it. I mean, there was the biggest story in the NFL, Brockman. I know you're a Patriots fan, but were you completely under a rock on this thing? I wasn't really fired up for the Mac Jones Patriots going into last season.
Me neither. I was openly rooting for them to lose.
Chris thought Mac Jones was going to be Elway, bro.
The Jets were on paper the biggest threat to the Bills a year ago. That ended literally in week one. Although they were competitive for like another 6 weeks after that.
I think the Falcons have better Super Bowl odds than the Jets right now.
What are the Jets Super Bowl odds?
27-1.
I can't advise you anything on that front.
We haven't seen it.
They had a lot of pressure. There's no doubt about it.
You know Tom can't comment on
these
types of things.
I know, but I'm saying the Falcons are 24-1.
I just love how you keep dropping it in CNFL bite. But I'm very disciplined.
I'm just going fishing.
Over
he's
here
trying to get you fired.
I know exactly where it's going to come from.
Chargers 50-1.
Right there with Brockman. 50-1? Again, I cannot advise you on what bets to place here, Brockman.
All right, moving on.
You're going to keep... Yeah, exactly. Stop testing me. Number three. Division race, I'm interested to see. NFC East.
Yeah.
The Cowboys.
100%.
Listen, Mike McCarthy is a very good and successful NFL head coach. They got better last year, as TJ knows very well as a Cowboys fan. They flopped in the playoffs. There's no other way to put it. They played their worst game at the worst possible time, and they ran into a young Packers team that went in there and played like they had nothing to lose. And the Cowboys played like they had everything to lose. They just didn't play their best. But then go through the offseason. They lose their left tackle, their center, their running back, two of their pass rushers. Their middle linebacker has to retire because of a neck injury. They got a lot of stuff going on. And what are they doing for agency? They signed Eric Kendricks, and a couple of days ago, they brought back Ezekiel Elliott. That's it. Royce Freeman, too, I guess. They did very, very little. And so I know that the all-in thing has become this running joke, and Jerry said it, and then he's saying it over and over at the press conference, and Mike McCarthy's, you know, like Kermit drinking the tea. It's just he's listening to it going, oh. I don't know why Jerry keeps saying that. But they're a team that, yeah, they want to pay Micah Parsons, they want to pay CeeDee Lamb, they want to pay Dak. Well, they haven't done it. And you took a division-winning team that should be a Super Bowl contender. There wasn't a lot added here. I'm not criticizing the strategy. I'm just saying they didn't really do a whole lot through the course of this offseason. The Eagles are a team that did a ton, changed out both their coordinators. They signed Saquon. They brought back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. They signed Bryce Huff. They just drafted corners with their first two picks. They got Vic Fangio there now on defense and Kellen Moore on offense. That's a ton of changes for a team that going into that San Francisco game last year where Big Dom has his run-in Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, who was it? It was one of the linebackers for the 49ers. They get into it on the sideline. And that was the game. I was like, what? In the airport, right? This was supposed to be the game of the year because I want to say the Eagles were 10-1. The 49ers might have been like 9-2. They're both like the top two teams in the NFC. I'm leaving a different game. I think I was in Cleveland or something. And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to get to the airport, you know, get to whatever the TGI Fridays or whatever's in that airport there. And I'm going to watch the second half of this game. And I get there and I'm like, what is happening? Like, there's really a fight being broken up. The Eagles are down three touchdowns all of a sudden. And from that point forward, just everything went sideways. Howie Roseman's always going to be aggressive. Totally make over the roster, the coaching staff, everything on a team that was in the driver's seat for the number one pick in November of last year. So you take those two teams, the Commanders, I think that realistically, it's going to take a while. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, they traded both their pass rushers last year. You got a rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels. The expectations are going to be high, but I think that, you know, realistically, are they competing for the division this year? That might be a little bit beyond them. And then the Giants, another team that people thought, all right, do they just blow it up now? Daniel Jones, is he done? Well, they owe Daniel Jones $35 million, and nobody else is paying Daniel Jones $35 million. So he's going to make that from the Giants. He's going to get his opportunity here. And if that doesn't work, then probably next year. They're in that Shedeur Sanders,
right.
Quinn Ewers
Carson
type
Beck.
Of a mix. Carson Beck
yep.
type of a mix here.
Yep.
So I think that's a really intriguing division because the Cowboys should, by all metrics, be the favored team.
We still will.
But just with the environment around their moves here, they've kind of, in this weird way, created more pressure on themselves for what they didn't do than the Eagles have for all the things that they did. And truly, looking on paper like they are, all in.
And Tom, by the way, I'm pretty sure it was Applebee's that you were at.
It might have been Applebee's.
You were at Cleveland Airport, the Applebee's. Yeah. You know exactly where I'm talking about,
sure.
though, right?
It's
100%. In that little rotunda,
and
you can either go way down here to try to find the one other restaurant, or you just,
we love Applebee's.
Even, you're right there.
Even if you weren't there, you were at Applebee's.
Cowboys and Eagles, same odds to win the NFC East. Same.
What are the odds?
Plus 120.
And then I assume the Commanders are down and the Giants are even further down?
Giants and Commanders, 10-1.
Wait, what were the first two?
Basically even.
At?
1-1.
Oh, 1-1.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Sorry, I thought you said 100-1.
And
I was all of a sudden realizing, I don't gamble, but I thought maybe I don't understand how any of this
None
works.
None of us here do.
Number two.
Me. I have a problem.
Number two, most intriguing division race. NFC North. You've got
I thought
top
this
to bottom.
One.
This might be the best division. Now, again, I mentioned this yesterday. I said that a couple years ago about the AFC West, and it ended up being an abject failure, and the Chiefs rolled like they always do. But look at that group of quarterbacks right there. Jared Goff, they're chanting his name throughout the draft in Detroit. They're coming off of a breakthrough season.
Detroit loves
Jared
Goff.
They're a couple of plays away, a couple of calls away from being in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
Jordan Love and the Packers over the last, let's call it 6 weeks plus playoffs, were one of the best teams in football,
and they had
the 49ers beat. The Vikings bringing in J.J. McCarthy, who's now throwing to Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and T.J. Hawkinson. I think that they're a fascinating team as well. And then the Bears with Caleb Williams, the number one pick, and all the weaponry around him.
The
I mean, there's not a game between any of those teams you're going to see on the slate this year and be like, I'll catch that one later. I don't need to watch it. No, you're going to want to watch those games. So I think that division,
listen,
the Lions are the defending champs.
Yep.
You have to say the Lions are the favorite in the division.
Yeah.
You can easily make the case based on how the Packers finished that they should be right behind. They added Josh Jacobs. They drafted Marshawn Lloyd to add to that room. They drafted an offensive lineman in the first round, which they hope helps close the gap with David Bakhtiari moving on. I just think that division is going to be fantastic. And then number one, I'm going to do it to myself again.
Oh, you're doing it.
And we can roll it. We'll eventually have a mashup of me saying this every 2 years.
Whoa.
Number one's the AFC West.
Oh, not AFC North.
It's driven by the coaches.
Interesting.
It's driven by the fact that you have Jim Harbaugh, and the expectations are going to be if they don't win the division, if they don't challenge the Chiefs, if they're not neck and neck at least to the end of the season, and you've got to think week 18 on the NFL calendar when that comes out, week 18, the game, is Chargers Chiefs that they slot in, and that might be the final game of the season. If they're not in that spot, if that game ends up being flexed out and is at 1 o'clock on the final day of the season, something's gone drastically wrong. And that's not to say that Joe Ortiz and Jim Harbaugh and company don't have work to do. They had a very top-heavy salary cap. They had to make some tough decisions. Khalil Mack took a cut. Joey Bosa took a cut. Keenan Allen got traded. Mike Williams got released. They are going to be a different looking team in 2024, when you have Jim Harbaugh coming off a national title at Michigan and the instant turnaround he led with the 49ers, the expectation around that team, the national expectation in the media with the fans, has to be they're here to take down the Chiefs. Sean Payton's in Denver. They've got a ways to go. that team's got some ground to make up. We'll see. If Bo Nix is as good as the Broncos think he is to take him at number 12, maybe they close that gap faster. But realistically, personnel-wise, they've got a little bit to go. And the fact that we're including Max Crosby in this graphic shows we have no idea who the hell the Raiders quarterback is going to be. That's going to be their big challenge. They were another team that finished last season hot. Mm-hmm. They played well under Antonio Pierce. A lot different, though, to take over midseason and have that placebo effect. It's different. The vibe's different. Totally different deal. 17-game season, training camp. It's a grind. Will that same approach hold up with the players? Will Antonio Pierce hold the room for that long? Are they going to be good enough? They hired Luke Getsy as their offensive coordinator. I know that he got kicked around for the job that he did with the Bears. He was winning games last year with Tyson Bagent. He was winning games with Tyson Bagent against the Raiders, which is part of the reason that that impressed them enough that they brought him in to be their OC. There's a long way to go in that division. I think that on paper, you have to say it's the Chargers potentially challenging the Chiefs. What are the Chargers odds right now? AFC West.
Ooh, standby. Chargers, AFC West odds, plus 350. Chiefs are minus 230. Let me explain that. You have to bet $23 to only win 10. That's crazy.
Well, why would you ever bet against Patrick Mahomes? There's no reason, because in the end, they're going to figure it out.
Yeah,
Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah, seems
foolish. Those are the guys that matter there. But again, when you hire Jim Harbaugh, you're not doing that to say, hey, I hope we get to 10-7 and get a wild card spot. No, you're doing that to take down the king.
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes, since he got in the league, he's been in the AFC Championship game every single year. Hadn't played a road playoff game till last season. He is the best. Andy Reid is the best. They're the team you're trying to take down. If you're the Chargers, again, you had a bright young coach in Brandon Staley. Things went sideways for a variety of reasons last year. You bring in Jim Harbaugh because you want to eat with the big dogs. Bring all the pressure, bring all the expectations. Jim Harbaugh himself is going to have high expectations for that team. If they don't at least get to the final couple weeks of the season and they're in the division race, a lot of people are going to look at that as a failure. And that happens when you hire one of the highest profile, most successful coaches of his generation.
Do you think the league should do that right off the bat? Season opener, Chiefs at Chargers? I mean, Chargers at Chiefs?
I mean, I wouldn't put it past them.
Right off the gate.
I would think, again,
champs,
I judge these when I'm saying like
Jim
the division.
Harbaugh, let's go.
The division race is to watch. It's what matchups is every single game going to matter? Is every single game you're going to want to be in front of the TV? They could put up any of these teams matching up, and it would be exciting. Yeah, it probably depends. Are they going to put him in week 18? You usually don't want to have bookends in the schedule.
Right.
So would you rather have that game week 18, or would you rather, say, go Broncos versus Chargers in week 1? Bo Nix's potential debut, new-look Chargers and Jim Harbaugh. A lot of ways to go. NFL schedule release show, NFL Network, sometime this month. They still won't tell
next
us.
Next week, when. I think.
Hopefully. I want to have the schedule. I want to know.
Yeah.
Plan my life.
We do.
Plan
my
good.
Life.
Well, there's like 17 games on every holiday.
Plan out
now.
Your weekends. Yeah,
all right, let's take a break.
Let's
Tom Papa, comedian, actor, writer. He is in studio. Can't wait for this. Stick around. Tom Squared after this on The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
There's somebody on Twitter, and it could be Bob, at @real_BobCostas. Then you read the Twitter bio and you begin to think something could be up. How are you, Bob?
I'm good, Rich. Late last night and then again this morning when I woke up, dozens of texts, some claiming it must be real, some saying this can't be true.
Yes.
And one said, this is the best indication that hell has frozen over since the 04 Red Sox or the 2016 Cubs. But I am here to assure you and everybody else,
yes,
that the fires of hell are still very much blazing, because I am absolutely not on Twitter. They have taken the bogus account down. And I began thinking, you know, what would I have to do before I ever deigned to be on Twitter? What? Like, binge watch The Real Housewives of Orange County? Make a return trip to Sochi just for the nostalgia of a Pink Eye episode? Star in a sequel to Basketball? Or just for you, Rich.
Yes, Bob.
Make a special trip to the NFL Combine. All those things will happen before I'm ever on Twitter.
Okay, so this is the real Bob Costas. We can confirm that now.
Yeah.
Twitter needs that.
Oh, my gosh. Your son tweeted it out that this is not you.
When I saw the first screen grab that Keith sent to me,
yes,
one tip-off should be, look, I'm a reasonably humble and self-effacing guy.
Yes.
But would I knowingly shortchange myself 7 Emmys? Like, I couldn't even get the number of Emmys right.
Exactly. I said that. I said 21 seems a little light.
You got to pull a scam. Get your ducks in a row. Yes.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. I am Tom Pelissero in for Rich, who will be back tomorrow. And I am very excited about our next guest. He's in studio here, comedian, author, podcaster. There's probably 8 more things. Tom Papa is with us. Tom.
Hey. Good to see you all again. Nice to be back.
Tom, it's great to be talking to somebody named Tom.
Yeah. Good people.
You know, I was looking at a chart recently.
Yeah.
And like, you know, for over year, I always find this fascinating. We're at the like 150-year low of Thomases being born.
Really?
So it's a generational thing.
Like, yeah.
Growing up, you meet someone named Ralph. You're like, you know that they're going to be much older than you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Not a lot of Seymours around.
Right.
Yeah.
There was only one Tom taken in the NFL draft. I looked that up. Tommy Eichenberg, the only one.
Right.
3 Xaviers. 4 Jadens.
A lot of Chads.
1 Tom. A few Chads in there. Yeah,
no Toms. Well, we'll make a comeback. We'll be back. It is a good name, though. Do people call you Tommy?
I was Tommy growing up.
Yeah.
In part to disambiguate from the 4 other Toms that
right.
were in my class at school.
Oh, in school.
But it was
yeah.
Tommy. And then I got to college and decided, this is the time. I'm going to reinvent myself. And I just took off 2 letters.
That's good. They called me Tommy Salami. Because I was fat.
Oh, that's Ooh. Why. You got the Netflix is a joke comedy fest coming up on
yes.
Friday. I consumed that a couple of years ago. I mean, every single one. It's so cool to have that many people in one spot.
It's really great. It's just starting to kick off. I have a show on Friday at the United Theater, which was the Ace Theater at the Ace Hotel. Mm-hmm. And they closed the hotel. And now it's the United Theater. And that's my big like headlining one on Friday. But it really last night kind of kicked it off. They had Seinfeld's Unfrosted premiere
mm-hmm.
for his new movie that's coming on Netflix about Pop-Tarts. And it was Larry David was there, Gaffigan, Tom Lennon, Nate Bargatze. It was just like all of this. Netflix has just created this like glory day of comedy. It's just such a great time to be a comic because of Netflix. So they have this festival and it's like every single giant comedian just all competing on the same night. It's really kind of insane.
So when you have that many funny people in
yeah.
one place, I know that there's like different shows and different stages and whatnot, but there's enough
yeah.
of you, I imagine, whether it's dinner, drinks, you're just running into people.
Yeah.
They're all there. What is the dynamic? Are you trying to make the other funny people laugh? Or is it one of those things where like, if you're, I imagine a server at a restaurant, you don't want to go home and be like, all right, what can I get you to eat?
Right. there's different, you know, there's different levels, you know, there are people who are super funny, who just kind of like just in conversation or making you laugh just kind of on the side. Mm-hmm. And then there's people that aren't that funny who are being really loud and trying to be funny. And those are the ones I try and avoid.
Who's the funniest person among, if one person, one comedian's making the other comedians laugh, who is it?
Oh, man. I don't know. There's just, they're all so great. That's what's really cool is that we're all headliners. And then you have this week and a half, 2 weeks of being with each other. Because normally we're on our own in different cities doing different stuff. And now, like, we could all, like, actually hang out and be around is good.
It was 2 years ago Chappelle got attacked at this festival, if I remember correctly.
Yes, Chappelle was attacked at the Hollywood Bowl. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm trying to create a staged attack at my show.
You'd get a lot, you'd go viral.
You'd get a lot of press.
Huge attention.
I'd get a lot of press, but not a lot of middle-aged women from the Midwest are signing up to do it. And that's really my demo.
It would be tough for you to say something controversial enough, I feel like. I'm familiar with your comedy. Like, you're not...
I have...
You don't work at Blue a whole lot.
No.
And you're not, trying to walk that line of offending people.
No, I'm pretty much talk about everyday life and family life. And the only time people really get mad is if I'm a little too mean in my jokes about my dogs. And then they're like, how dare you? And they haven't even met my dogs, but my audience is so family oriented. They're like, well, your dog isn't making fun of you, so we're on the dog side.
I was listening this morning, actually, to one of your specials. I'd heard it years ago.
Yeah.
But it was the one that, by the way, this popped up when I was pulling up the thing.
Yeah.
It was directed by Rob Zombie.
Yes, Rob Zombie. He directed two of my specials.
I mean this in the nicest possible way. Your vibe and his vibe slightly different.
Yeah, I'm a little more hardcore.
So you're doing a bit though. Yeah, exactly. I thought there was more. You were setting
I was up. Trying to stay deadpan longer, but
yeah,
I couldn't.
Exactly. No, it was very solid. But you were talking about your daughters taking over the house at that time, and how every time you leave the house, you're constantly, everyone's questioning you. You have three wives,
right?
Essentially,
yeah.
They're
yeah.
older now.
Like, yes,
they're grown. How does that dynamic? I've got two daughters, 9 and 7. How does that dynamic evolve over time?
It's you have 9 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's prime time. That is really, if I could go back, like that is 9 and 6, 9 and 7. That 8. That's really pretty golden. And then they become people with opinions. and very little money. So you have to get very involved. I love them to death, but now they're both in college. And I got to say, it's not that bad. Like, the kitchen's clean and I don't have to wear clothes at the house. My dogs are like, you're one of us now. Ah! Just like running around. And it's pretty great. But my daughter's literally on a plane right now coming back and 4 months for summer vacation.
Ooh. So the nakedness now has to stop at least for the summer.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to play it because I don't want them to be there that long. It's like when I was in, I would just get a job and stay at college. And that doesn't seem to be their plan. But maybe if you catch dad walking into the kitchen a couple times, you'd be like, yeah, I think it's time to go.
Just a nice Speedo, a G-string would probably have the same effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a little more exposed skin. Yeah. Dad's gone through some changes while you've been away.
Yeah, I haven't been trimming the back hair lately. Do you mind helping me out?
Or the front hair. Yeah.
No, but it is great. That age, though, what you're in is... That's pretty perfect.
Yeah, they do have a lot of opinions, though. The 7-year-old in particular, everything is, why? I don't want to do that.
Right.
Why do I have to go to school? I got a call while I was on the air yesterday in the health office. They're saying, you need to come pick her up. I'm like, I'm in Los Angeles. I've got 2,000 miles to go, and also definitely faking. It's like, what is
absolutely.
She? What's wrong with her? They go, well, she has a little bit of a headache. When I was growing up, I'm 43. It was like, unless you were projectile vomiting onto the other students.
That's right.
You stay. Like, one of my core memories was like, this kid vomited and it was like the corn dog from lunch was in it. And they just like slopped it up and they like moved him over a couple of seats. That was it.
Yeah, exactly. There was no going. Yeah, I would get that call all the time. And I'm like, well, you got to put him down somewhere. Like, where are you going? Do you have a cot? What are you going to do? Because I'm not coming to get them.
Right.
I'm not going to do it.
Is there a softness to the younger generation? They're growing up with everything's easy for them. Whether it's, my kids, we go on vacation.
Yeah.
And they're like, Dad, I want to watch Netflix. I'm like,
yeah, that doesn't happen in this hotel. You have these channels.
Yeah.
You pick one.
Yeah.
That show that's on, that's what you can watch.
Yeah.
Everything is so accessible. It's so easy. They have answers to everything. They know how to Google things.
Yeah.
Are they growing up with too many answers?
Yeah, they know way too much. Like, because you have all of this stuff, they're not as happy. They're not as happy. Because you can tell on when they were in high school, you could tell what was trending on TikTok by what ailment they would walk into the kitchen with. They'd be like, I have restless leg syndrome. And be like, what? And then you hear from the other parents that they all have it. Like, they're sharing their anxiety nonstop. On my daughter came in one day and she goes, we have to prepare for the tsunami. I'm like, what? We live in the hills. What are you? No, you don't understand. If there's an earthquake, then there's a tsunami. And I was like, and we found out all of her friends, they were all, it was trending that tsunamis were coming. So they have, they're not as happy. They know, they actually know too much.
The TikTok thing is what scares me.
It's all of it is scary. It's no, it's for us too. Like, you know, you have to kind of control what you digest all the time.
No question.
And they have, you just have it on your phone, you know, and it's just, there's no escaping it. But when we were kids, you know, it was, we didn't know much. You know, you just go out and play in the dirt and you'd make a ramp and you'd take your bike over it. Yep. And unless somebody like broke their arm to the point where you had to tell a parent, you just, that was your day. You weren't thinking about tsunamis or any kind of diseases. You were just thinking, do you think we can get over that log?
And it's, and that's the thing, is that you're concerned now about like the scars that the children are going to have if you let them be exposed to these. We got actual scars.
Yeah.
Like, you would actually injure yourself.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like you went to, I never had heard of an urgent care.
No.
I never went to an urgent care growing up.
Yeah, they'd rub dirt on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like, get, like, no, it's open. Get one band-aid. No, just get the second band-aid the other direction. Now it's closed. It'll heal.
You know, it's interesting. We just heard yesterday that where my kids went to high school, they're dissolving the football team. Because not enough kids are going out for football because what? It's, yeah, because it's too rough, because it's too dangerous. The enrollment for football keeps going down.
So they're just ending it.
So they're just, they've got this gorgeous field, lights, bleachers, nothing. They're going to stop it.
You played football growing up.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, you'd say that like you were very good.
I was all right.
Yeah. What did you play?
Fullback. I could run with the ball and block. I was like a guard that was a little faster.
Well, did they let you, in those days, like, there was always like the, you know, keep your head up, otherwise you're a wuss type of thing.
Yeah.
But like, there's a lot of head hits to the fullback position, I think.
Yeah. I've got lumps. I'm a little foggy. Like when you say that your kid was like, they have a slight headache.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, when do you not?
Right.
Right?
It might be all the drinking, too.
It could be a lot of that stuff. But yeah, it was really disheartening, like, that there's no...
Wow.
Football is like, that's it. They're just kind of, it's going to go away. That seems weird.
And now it's flag football. Like, some of the metrics we get, mm-hmm, when we're talking about, you know, it's all about ratings on the games and whatnot.
Yeah.
And like, the thing we keep being told is we have to figure out how to reach kids because they watch a 15-second video on TikTok,
yeah,
of a highlight, and they think they watched the game.
Right.
And I see that with my, yeah, like, my nieces and nephews. It's the same thing where the game's on TV,
yeah,
and they're like this.
I know. I hate it, though. I don't think you should cater to that. I really don't. Like, I'm a big baseball fan, and this speeding up the game is infuriating. I want games to last 5 hours. Like, let it go. Just, I don't need to rush this. And the idea that putting a clock on it is going to shorten it by, that you're going to attract people that don't like baseball because they're, oh, it's shorter by a half hour. That's not going to happen.
My concern, I went to a game last summer, and it was a Twins game in Minneapolis, and it was like a 2-0 game.
Yeah.
The thing was done in 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Ugh.
I had to take 3 children to the bathroom,
yeah,
during that time. I come back, I'm like, it's the 8th inning?
It's ridiculous.
All the time of like going and like grabbing a beer, walk
relaxing
around a little bit. We're going to go meet the mascot,
yeah,
because that's what the kids care about. You can't do any of it, or you just don't see a baseball
game. They want you in and out. I hate it. And I really think if you don't like baseball, you're not coming because it's that much shorter.
Right.
And if you love baseball, you do not want a guy on second in the beginning of the 10th inning.
No, that's right where I played baseball growing up, and that's like where I draw the line of what are we doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Put the guy on second base. And
this
just
is a classic game. It's survived for all this time. Just stick to it. You don't cater to, oh, people are distracted and watching stuff on their phones. I don't get it.
How much April baseball do you watch?
April, a good amount. A good amount. I have it on all the time.
Because it always seems to me like the season is so long that I find it hard to get really excited about, oh man, huge win. There's 153 games to go.
I usually start dipping. I go strong in the beginning, and then I usually somewhere in the summer, like maybe right before the All-Star, I start to dip a little bit. I'll lose track of it and then come back. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. there is like a little bit of a lull. But I just love it. I think it's just always great to have on. It's just, it's the best. I really, and also I'm a Giants fan mm-hmm. in football, so I have no football anymore.
do you watch the NFL draft? Do you at least first round take a peek?
No, it's what I wanted to ask you. I mean, it seems like we didn't do much, and everyone's angry we didn't get a quarterback. Yeah.
Tried to trade up. Everybody thought in the league that was for Drake May.
Yeah.
J.J. McCarthy's there. Won the national title in Michigan. They decide take Malik Nabers from LSU instead.
Yeah.
When you owe your current quarterback $35 million for this season and no one else is going to pay him that, you are boxed in to a certain degree from a resource allocation standpoint.
And that's why I'm watching a lot of baseball in April. Because I can't pay attention to the Giants. They've just been so bad. Saquon's gone. It's just, I don't know. Is there any hope?
Saquon going to the Eagles.
I like Tom. Yeah. Tommy?
You're betting a Tommy DeVito. If you see him out there this season, it's not a good thing.
Well, that's what happened last year.
That means something's gone horribly wrong because he is fighting to be third on the depth chart at this point.
Yeah, and all of a sudden we're professional wrestling. We just have characters.
I mean, that was his agent, Sean Stellato, somehow becoming more famous, not just than most of the players on the team, than his own client was one of the unexpected. And the thing was with Sean Stellato, he's been the same guy for 20 years. We all know Sean.
Oh, really?
Sean's been an agent forever.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
But
he just didn't happen to have the Italian quarterback on the Giants who was doing appearances at local pizza places on his off day until last year. Look at him. I mean, that's really him. He already had the suits. He just didn't have the Italian quarterback from the neighborhood.
That's hilarious. I really thought this guy, when I saw him at first, I was like, he's going too far with this character. Like, it's so obvious.
Like, too many bracelets right there. The outfits are over the top. Yeah. No, those were already in his closet. You just hadn't seen him wear them before.
Good for him.
I wanted to quiz you on this. You're not an NFL draft guy, but you're a Giants guy.
Yeah,
so
I can't watch
what I do through the draft process, talk to all the teams, to coaches, to scouts.
Yeah.
And you get through not just the football side of things, but, you know, the guys have red flags, right? And would you take this guy, your wide receiver, Malik Nabers? People had to explore. There was a gun incident. Hopefully none of that in New York. The laws are pretty stringent. But there was, you know, the things they have to sort through. So I want to go through.
Okay.
Put yourself in the shoes of the general manager.
All right.
And tell me, a player you like, but if he had this about him, would you be able to take him?
Got it.
First one, when the plane reaches the gate and you hear the ding, he shoves his way back four rows to get his bag and then pushes his way back up the four rows.
I don't mind him rushing back to get it.
It's the
return.
Back.
Yeah, you can't come back.
You have no right of way.
No. If I understand the panic. Like if you have to put it five rows behind you because you were late or whatever, the whole flight I would have anxiety of like, how am I going to get my bag? Because once the flow starts, you're screwed. So I get that, like, jump up, go get it, but you've lost your right of being in the front.
You don't have right away.
No, you don't. So, yeah, you're off my team.
I'm a big wait guy, but wait and make people feel uncomfortable that you're waiting, which you usually do. I do by you stand up, and you know you can't stand all the way up because you're underneath it. You stand like this and look to the rows behind you. Like, that's going to be, can I get back there?
Yeah.
That to me is more fair. I don't like the entire, we're all getting off the plane.
I'm big with assisting. I'm big with
helping somebody.
If I see someone sweating and they're nervous and they can't figure out how they're going to get back, I start creating a little squad that's going to get that back for the person.
See, I only do it if I'm fearful they're actually going to be crushed instantaneously. Because I've had it before that, like, I see someone and they're like trying to push up. I'm like, oh, okay. And they go, I got it. I'm like, all right, well,
yeah.
Now I'm going to offend you and I don't want to get canceled for whatever I'm doing here trying to help you just put a bag up.
I don't like the guy when you're on the aisle who stands next to you. They're going to take the window and they just stand with their open mouth waiting for you to realize what's happening. Just say, excuse me, sir. That's all you have to say. Excuse me. Oh, great. Welcome. Come on in. But just do, and just wait. Those people
That's
should be.
That's almost everyone on the plane.
They should be escorted off.
All right. Second player. You really like this player, but when he's watching a movie next to you, he's scrolling Instagram and periodically laughing.
Airbuds or no Airbuds?
Ooh,
well, let's give him Airbuds.
Airbuds.
But still
AirPods.
Laughing at not the funny parts in the movie. Just periodic laughing, making clear he's paying attention to this, not that.
That's okay. That's all right. He's, you know, he's distracted. He's simple. As long as he has good etiquette and I don't have to hear it, I'm cool with it.
All right. Third player, he clips his nails in the kitchen.
Ooh. Ooh. I thought you were going to say on the plane because I've seen that
I've seen that too. Wow. Kitchen to me is the
on the plane. You've seen that on a plane?
I've seen it on a plane. And
oh, yeah.
The
nail
guy put his tray.
I got nothing but time.
Guy put his tray down, clipped his nails, and put them in like a little pile on the tray.
Like in the little drink indent?
No, then he like, I don't know what he did with it. If he put them in his pocket or chewed them.
Fingernails are a little bit more acceptable. My first thought was toenails.
Oh, toenails.
Like, and I was like,
Yeah. No, I've never seen someone clipping toenails. I've seen a lot of toenails that need clipping. When people show up with flip-flops
on. Bare feet on a plane, like, what are we doing?
Bare feet, yeah.
That's everywhere, though.
Stop it.
See, I was trying to go a little more specific.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. That irritates me, but it happens on every flight.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I saw shoes off and socks off in the lounge, in the Sky Club. That was on the flight here.
Come on.
It's bad.
It's really bad.
Who are you people?
I think, yeah, if you clip your nails anywhere but the bathroom or outside, I can see outside. But, yeah, flossing and... All these things are meant for in the bathroom.
All right. I got a couple more. Okay. When he's staying in a hotel, he makes his bed every morning.
Ooh. Well,
I do that.
Yeah, I know.
I do that too.
They do it.
I do it too.
You make the bed all the way tucked.
Not tucked.
Not tucked, just pull the covers over.
Like a casual one.
Yeah.
We do that.
Yeah, you put the thing over because if you don't, you're leaving like the air. It's not going to be an inviting bed to return to.
Yeah, see? Yeah, you're coming.
And you
back
don't want housekeeping in there every day.
I feel like I'd be offending them by being like, I can do this. I can do your job.
So you get housekeeping every day?
I like to.
Oh, I don't.
Didn't get it yesterday.
Do you tip every day?
I had no towels this morning. What am I supposed to do?
Do you tip every day?
How many towels did you use?
I try to tip every day. If I miss a day, I'll do like the larger tip the second day.
That's good.
I tip at the end.
If you want to tip.
The end.
Well, if they're coming in every day.
I don't let them come in every day.
Yeah, you're just doing. You're just making a mess. You have to tip because now it's filled with pizza boxes and coffee cups.
Exactly. 3 days worth of trash in my Detroit.
Yeah.
Three of the five people in this room make their bed every morning at the hotel.
You know why? We're good boys.
I guess.
See?
Apparently.
We're
all right. I got two more for you.
And you fluff the pillows.
All right. When the waiter comes over, he goes, "I'm not ready. You guys go." As if you didn't have enough time to fully take in the menu in the 10 minutes you've been sitting there waiting.
Oh, you mean the person I'm dining with?
Correct, yes.
Says I'm going to need more time?
Just to be like, I'm not ready. Yeah, you guys
go. Oh, you mean my wife.
They always have to answer.
You mean my wife.
Always have to order last. Every time.
My wife.
When you take this player.
Yeah.
If he's this guy.
My wife is always shocked that they're going to ask, would you like something to drink first? Never heard it before. She's in a restaurant three times a week, every single time. Would you like something? Would you get you started with something to drink? I'm going to need more time. If it's not someone you're married to and sleeping with, they're off the team.
All right, last one. You really like the player, but he's never seen Jaws.
Ooh. Uh-oh. You know what? I hate to say it, but we're going to keep them because that's an age thing. We've reached a point where Jaws and The Godfather are no longer required watching for men.
Jaws 1975.
And The Godfather was like 78.
72.
No, 72.
72.
74.
Yeah. It's no longer... Like when you'd be like, you never saw The Godfather. Now you're an old man.
Yeah. I've seen The Godfather, still not seen Jaws. These guys kill me on all the movies I haven't seen.
He had a lot
of had assignments last time I was out here hosting, and I rolled through Silence of the Lambs
right.
and, that was and a variety of other. I can't remember what else was on
Terminator.
That
list. Yeah.
There was a lot of Hunt for Red October.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about athletes that you want on your team. You want young, strong guys, and if they haven't seen Jaws, that makes sense. But as the host of a show, you should be fired.
Yeah. So you got Netflix is a Joke Comedy Fest. That's Friday.
Friday.
You've got Dodgers Comedy Night.
Dodgers Comedy Night with Cedric the Entertainer. We're doing a big show. And I have a big show, if I may, in Washington, D.C. on June 15th. I'm taping my next Netflix special.
Nice.
And, awesome. At the Warner Theater.
All right.
So I've got, if people want to come and watch that.
When will that come out on Netflix?
Probably in the fall.
Beautiful. Yeah. I'll be watching.
Yeah,
appreciate
it'll be great.
And TomPapa.com or NetflixIsAJokeFest.com for tickets, right?
Yes. Giants.
Hopefully.
Should I watch football or should I come back to football or no?
Oh,
you're the guy.
No, bring it on. What do you got?
Giants.
Do you have any final thoughts?
Do I have a team? Or is it just going to be more misery?
There are people that are going to be wearing uniforms that say Giants on them. That's what I can tell you.
Yeah.
Tom, great. Thank you very much for being here, man.
Thanks,
appreciate
Tom. I appreciate it.
That is Tom Papa, everybody. We'll be right back. We'll talk about the Giants after this. We can dig in more if they're going to exist.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What could you do? Like, what's the move that you could actually
perform?
Oh, man.
You know what? I can kick a guy in the nuts without actually kicking him in the nuts.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that.
Hold on a minute.
No, it's my party trick. I guarantee you, I won't hurt you.
So, is this
I'll take my pain kickers off.
Could this be sanctioned? Can she try to
kick?
Okay.
Literally.
Who would volunteer for this work?
Come on. You just have to spread your legs. And wish for the best.
Mike, Del Tufo.
I mean, we'll both do it.
What are we about to attempt to do right here?
Kick him in the nuts.
Without actually hurting him.
Yeah, exactly.
But you will make contact.
I'll make contact, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but you will not hurt him.
No.
Well, it doesn't matter. You have no desire to have children anyway.
No,
I'm
good. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
WWE Superstar Paige.
We'll see.
Do we have the, go ahead and hit it there, Jerry. Here we go.
All right, spread him for me. Okay, ready? If I was you, I'd pull your shorts up a little bit just so I can have a bullseye. You know
there we go.
Got it. Jeez.
All right, ready?
This is great.
We'll see if this works or not.
She's
laughing. Did this
I don't know.
Before.
I know.
All right, Paige, have at it. Superstar Paige. Here we go.
Got it.
There we
no
go.
Contact.
I just slapped him
no
in the butt.
Contact.
Yeah.
You're up next.
That was a good slap on this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chris is up next.
Uh-oh.
Ready? Spread him.
You're the one who was making fun of her. So there we go.
Oh! It just hurts on your butt.
Are you serious? Are you serious, Chris?
Oh. I'm selling it.
Oh! Vince McMahon, take note. Yeah. All right, fight with my family. Fight with my family.
I'm sorry.
Go check it out.
It was like.
Well done. Fantastic.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brockman's got that down. Pat, great times with Tom Papa in the last segment. My wife Sarah has weighed in on some of the prospect red flags that I was going through in that last segment, saying, I feel personally attacked. These are all me. I responded. I said,
I was wondering where these were coming from.
But then she said, ordering last, never seen Jaws, watching a movie and scrolling Instagram. Okay. But they were all inspired.
Wow.
Just so
attacks.
Happens.
Wow.
Those are her things.
Locks are going to be changed tonight when you get home?
I think we're okay.
Okay.
Maybe not after this addendum, but no, I love Sarah.
I don't know.
Just, you know, Yeah, the scrolling Instagram thing and like chuckling at something I can't see. It does. It burrows right in here.
That was a horrible idea, Tom. Wow, man, bro.
She's the best.
You might as well just stay.
Yeah. You might as well stay, actually. You should just stay.
I think Rich is coming back to the seat, so I don't have a place
Cinco
beyond
de Mayo this.
Weekend? I think we're going to be just fine.
We'll
thank you to Sarah for
here.
Thank you to Sarah for handling the kids and everything else at home. I will be back on a flight that leaves like 90 minutes from right now. Brockman, what else you got for me? You got four more minutes with me.
A couple minutes left. Okay, we're about 4 months from kickoff 2024, September 5th, later this fall. What is kind of the big one or two storylines that you're looking out for between now and then, now that the draft is over?
Well, I think that, you know, some of the big picture things, even not just up to week one, but going into the season, are going to be the future of Dak Prescott, who is entering the last year of his deal with the Cowboys. Cowboys keep saying they want to extend him, but to this point, they haven't done it. And based on how Dak has approached his contract forever throughout his career, there's no real reason to think that he's going to be in any rush to take any deal that they might put in front of him between now and the start of the season. Then at that point, if he plays out the year, all of a sudden next March, we're talking about Dak Prescott as this year's Kirk Cousins. And does he end up going to another team after spending a long time in one place? There's the future of Tua Tagovailoa as well, in terms of, you know, his contract situation. That's going to be significant. Some of those wide receivers, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, what happens with them? And then you got some of these other ones that are going to be hovering during the season, like Bill Belichick. Now, he's going to be visible from everything I can tell. He's going to make sure that he is in the media world with McAfee and wherever else. Yep. But Bill Belichick potentially coming back, I mean, he wants to coach in 2025. Where, if anywhere, does he end up landing? I think all of those are pretty driving storylines. We could end up with a really interesting, you know, potential free agent class headed by Dak Prescott here. We'll see if there's any ground that's able to be made up between now and then.
Could he possibly get traded during the year? What if the Cowboys are struggling? He's playing well, not translating the wins, because he could be dealt to Oakland. I mean, the Raiders.
I don't foresee
something like that.
Okay. It would really be a pretty big surprise if Jerry Jones at any point pulls the plug on the season like that. I would anticipate Dak plays it out. I would anticipate Jerry, in his heart of hearts, wants Dak to be back. They love Dak in that build. He works harder than anybody. He played his best football last season with Mike McCarthy calling the plays. The playoff game was really, really bad. What they're hoping, capitalize on what they did well last season and don't have the worst game at the worst possible time. Thank you to all of our guests. Thanks to the fellows in the studio. Thanks to all of you for listening and watching. I'm Tom Pelissero. See ya.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.